Got something on your mind? Tell Lisa all about it. 203-333-9422. It's the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
Listen, before we get to Senator Bob Duff, I just have to tell you, Andrew just shared with me an anecdote. We need to dial this down a little bit, guys, okay? We can't lose our heads. Andrew, tell us what happened with your mom.
Well, it's kind of incredible. Well, my parents are both registered Democrats. I'm not, but that's besides the point. They have a couple of Biden signs out in front of the house near the mailbox. She was getting mail out the other evening, and a guy with a Trump-Pence flag flying behind his truck slowed down, beeped at her, and flipped her the bird as she drove by. And this is in North Haven, Connecticut. This is not like... I couldn't believe it when she told me. And I asked her, did you get the license plate? She went, no, I was in shock. I didn't think to. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, people have taken their political opinions and they feel licensed for whatever reason right now to be venomous and nasty to other people. And it is completely unacceptable. It is part of the problem right now. And it's, I know there's a lot of rage seething right underneath. And you know what? We need to dial it down. I feel very badly for your mom because I'm very sensitive to things like that. Like, that kind of stuff makes me cry, you know? Like, if somebody curses or does something that is such an unprovoked act of meanness and nastiness and intolerance, I tend to really take it very hard. Tell your mom I feel bad for her. I really do.
I will.
It's bad. It's not nice.
No.
And it's part of where we are today in 2020. We got to dial it down. Okay, remember who we are. Joining us now is Senator Bob Duff. And you know what, Senator Duff of Newark, you've been in the thick of this, haven't you? Between stories that we've been covering about your exposure of how you felt you were intimidated and bullied by the Newark police over your stances over the police accountability bill and what you felt to be bullying and intimidating behavior. So that anecdote probably doesn't sound too surprising to you.
No, it's unfortunate right now because, you know, you've got a president who, you know, makes these wild conspiracy theories and baseless claims, and it gets rebroadcast on places like Fox News or the dark web or, you know, these kind of conspiracy sites. I mean, I get emails all the time from various groups that are trying to raise money from these outrageous conspiracy theories. And all it does is feed people's anger. And social media just fuels it because people can say whatever they want on there. And then it just impacts other folks. And so, you know, when you think about what happened to the governor of Michigan and having a conspiracy to assassinate her, and then my friend Brandon Whipple out in Kansas, was it Kansas City, I think it was, or someplace in Kansas where he's the mayor. I know him through a group that I'm involved in nationally, and he's a good guy. And he was they were looking to kidnap him for trying to keep his people safe during this pandemic. So
Wichita.
I worry.
Wichita.
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 Thank you. I knew.
Yeah.
I just couldn't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, a young guy. He's got a family. You know, smart guy. He's just trying to do the best he can. And so. You know, I worry that these kinds of things will just continue to seep down into state and local governments, and that anybody who is elected is put in danger. And, you know, frankly, what it does is it undermines our democracy because fewer and fewer people are going to want to even run for office if they think that their lives or their families or you know, any parts of them are going to be threatened. And it's just really outrageous.
We're talking with Senator Bob Duff now. Senator, you're running in the 25th Senate District. I know that that's Norwalk. You're running as a Democrat, as an incumbent, as you're the majority leader in the Senate now. And you're running against Ellie Kosides. And she has actually called upon you to apologize. In Nancy on Norwalk, which is a popular blog, she called upon you to apologize for causing the situation with the police. So tell me how you would respond to that call for an apology.
Well, I'm not going to really respond to it because I think the facts speak for themselves. Everything that I said in the letter that I sent to the police union has been corroborated by the video that the police put out, and that, you know, if the officer who spat at me, according to the chief, wants to apologize and take me out for a beer, that's the chief's exact words. And so if I owed an apology, then why would the officer who did that to me want to apologize?
By the way, have you had that? Have you had that beer with that officer? Has that actually happened?
No, I don't think it's appropriate yet to do. There's an internal affairs investigation, and I think that that needs to take its course before we get into having a beer.
Can you tell me your senatorial district of the 25th? Is it only Norwalk, or are there
it's
other
Norwalk
towns?
It's Norwalk and two-thirds Darien.
Two-thirds Darien. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Senator Duff, there's going to be a lot of changeover of leadership in Hartford. If you get reelected, are you going to be running for Speaker of the House?
No, no. I have the there's in the Senate.
I mean, pardon, not Speaker of the House. I know you're the Senate. Pardon me. Are you going to be running at all for, you know, further leadership positions in the Senate? I apologize. I know you're the Senate.
Well, not this time. The right now, the Senate President is Senator Martin Looney from New Haven. And he is running for another term for Senate President. I am running for another term as Majority Leader and have the support of the Democratic Caucus for another term as Majority Leader. So I feel comfortable and confident that should I win re-election, I'll be elected again as Majority Leader.
203-333-9422. We're on the air with Senator Bob Duff. Senator Duff, I'm asking every candidate right now about the various proposals in front of both the Senate and House that have to do with desegregating Connecticut and bringing notions of affordable housing down to constrictions against local zoning regs, including removing the word character from a lot of local zoning codes. What do you think about that? Are you in favor of that?
Well, let's bring the temperature down on this a little bit, because I think what's happening right now is you see the Republicans have nothing to run on, and that they're two big mantles of things outside of police accountability, which is ridiculous to think that they'd be opposed to police accountability, is they're trying to use scare tactics of regionalization of schools and some sort of like state control of local zoning, neither of which has any merit whatsoever or any truth whatsoever. So there are ideas out there on how we can promote affordable housing in all of our communities. We have already state statute 8-30G. We have over the last, say, 9 or 10 years, we've probably put more money into affordable housing to rehab affordable housing and to build affordable housing than ever before. I view affordable housing as one of the three legs of the stool to building our economy, in addition to transportation and education funding. Affordable housing is housing for senior citizens. It's housing for recent college graduates. It's housing for working families. The lack of affordable housing has constricted our economy all throughout the state of Connecticut. Now, there should not be communities that have the sole burden of having affordable housing where other communities don't have that. So do I believe that every community should have housing that that is diverse in their housing stock so that people can move into those communities? Absolutely. Do I think that there should be state control?
Let me just stop you right there. So, for example, in Woodbridge, the Woodbridge apparently is exclusive single-family residential, and they like it that way. Their town likes it that way.
Yeah.
There is a lawsuit that is arguing that it has a disproportionate impact on people of color because not enough people of color can afford to live in that single-family residential zone. And therefore, they are making a lawsuit to try and bust the local zoning.
Right.
If they had a statute in Hartford that would help them do so, it would make their lawsuit easier.
Well,
so
there is a statute.
Am I hearing from you that every community has to have its own diverse choice of housing? I want to know what I'm hearing from you, because we have very different communities in Connecticut.
Of course we do. And we do have a housing law called 8-30G that says that if you have fewer than 10% affordable housing, then there's this mechanism that allows for more dense housing development to happen. So that's been on the books for over 20 years. Actually, we made a change to it a few years ago that was supported by both housing advocates and by the municipalities to make it a little bit fairer. I will say that zoning has been used as a means to exclude people from coming into communities. So if anybody thinks that, you know, 2 or 3 acre zoning isn't a means to exclude certain people from communities, they're mistaken. Does that mean that we need to build condos next to single-family homes? Absolutely not. But does that mean that we should have diverse school districts? Does that mean that we should have diverse housing stock? Does that mean that communities are stronger when there's all types of people there, whether they're rich, poor, black, white, brown, white? You know, I live in Norwalk. I'm fifth generation here. I chose to stay here and raise my family here because I believe that one of our big strengths in town is the fact that we have great diversity, and that I believe helps my kids be able to be more prepared for the real world out there. And I think that communities are stronger when there is more diversity, and that that we welcome people from all walks of life. Now, again, we have a transportation problem in this state. Why is that? One of the reasons why is that people say, well, I can't afford to live in Fairfield County, so I've got to live in outside Fairfield County, but I work in Fairfield County. That stalls progress for our state and stalls economic growth in our state. And to believe anything else is completely false.
We're chatting with Senator Bob Duff. Senator Duff, you have a few more minutes. We got to go to commercials. We'll be right back. Okay. We'll be right back with Senator Bob Duff at 203-333-9422 on the Lisa Wexler Show.
You've read and heard from all the others. Now the real story on today's biggest topics. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show, 203-333-9422, and we're on with State Senator Bob Duff, who is a Democrat. He's running against Ellie Casitas, who we haven't had a chance to talk to yet, who's a Republican. And Bob, what term are you running for? What will this be?
I've been in the state senate since 2005.
So it's been a while. I want to ask you about
something. I get better over time. I'm like a fine wine.
Okay. I want to ask you about something because this is a personal concern for me. I'm not even sure there's a good answer to it, but I want to hear your thoughts on it. I'm very worried that the educational disparities, which were already rather bad before COVID, are going to intensify substantially afterwards, as we see that 5,000 or more students simply haven't shown up. We don't know why. Maybe some are in private school or homeschool, but maybe others simply are not showing up. That's to show up for long-distance learning throughout the state, I'm sure you know. And the fact is that for a lot of schools this morning, Silvermine closed down for, you know, for today. Last week it was Brian McMahon, Norwalk, you know, a hot spot again for COVID. These decisions being made about exposure, et cetera. Every single day, educators are like, are we opening the school today or not?
Yeah.
The yo-yo impact on families. And I know you have children in the schools. I'm really concerned that afterwards we're going to find this hugely worse disparity between the kids that went to public schools and kids that went to private schools, which are able to be more flexible and malleable and set rules and say, if you don't obey them, you can't come today. You know, they have a different set of criteria than public schools.
Right.
And I'm worried about it, Bob. I really am. And I'm wondering right now, what are you thinking about it, and what can be done to make it not as bad as it looks like it's going to be?
Well, I know, and that's one of the reasons why I thought that, you know, kids needed to be back in schools and not just have remote learning. And that's just, you know, my own opinion, because I figured if we didn't do it now, we never would do it. We never would get kids back in school for the entire school year. And the only way to kind of deal with the inequities of what's happening in our school districts is by getting kids in school is at least as long as, you know, as long as they could. I figured anything after 2 weeks was kind of like gravy because, you know, we just didn't know what was going to happen with the numbers. But so I'm very concerned about what happens in our urban areas versus our suburban and rural areas with regard to kids and their ability to not fall back. And, you know, I think when schools went remote back in March, and they went remote very, very quickly, and I think they all did a great job and they worked very, very hard with what they had, there was definitely a slide because of the fact that not everybody had access to computers, not everybody had access to the internet, not everybody had access to the things that they need to have. It's a little different, I think, this fall, but I still think that, as you correctly pointed out, there are a number of kids who are not showing up. There are kids who still don't have access to the internet, despite everybody's best efforts. In Norwalk, we have a partnership with the Dalio Foundation and Altice and others to get kids getting them some access. Kids have Chromebooks, but Norwalk is, even though we're an urban city, and we certainly have a diversity of wealth here, we're still considered in a much better shape than some of our other communities and other cities around the state. So it's, I don't know that there's a perfect answer for that yet, but we have to keep trying because this virus is not getting any better. It's not going to go away magically. It's not going to just dissipate. And, you know, I fear that kids will be out of school longer than we think they will because of what might happen over the weekend. I will say this, that, you know, we all have a role to play in this, and we all have something, a responsibility here to be good actors. What we're seeing right now for the prevalence of these upticks is not necessarily things that are happening outside our control. What we are seeing right now is that people are gathering with strangers, not strangers, but, you know, friends or family outside their homes, in their homes, through parties or social gatherings or other types of things. That right now is causing the spread in our communities. That's one of the main reasons for the uptick right now, is the fact that people are socializing and getting together. We need to make sure we're maintaining our social distancing, wearing our mask, washing our hands, doing all the basic things that we know will help stop the spread of this virus. And if the more people will heed those warnings, the infection rate will go down, and we'll be able to keep those schools open. But if we don't heed the advice of medical experts, then we're going to just continue to go down further, and we're going to see schools closed, we're going to see things shut down, and I don't think anybody really wants that.
Yeah, no, we are, you know, it's everybody's watching the numbers. No one's particularly happy that Connecticut's 3%, but if you keep it in perspective, we're still doing a lot better.
We're still one of the best states in the nation.
I know. I realize that. I know. You know, I have callers who are worried about a vaccine being compelled to be taken. I'm more worried about a vaccine being available altogether. I'm going to be one of the first people that, you know, wants one.
Well, I'll be there if I'll be there if Dr. Fauci says to take it. If Donald Trump says to take it, I'm not taking it. If Dr. Fauci says it, I'll take it.
You know, the truth of the matter is, I don't think we've ever had a time that I can remember where fewer things are taken for granted as truth. In other words, we have undermined our faith, and I had a caller call on today who was convinced that the FBI for 3 years is in the midst of a campaign to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't become president. Okay, you heard that.
I heard
and
it. Yeah.
So we have a lot of, and listen, he has his point of view. He has what he believes to be legitimate authority backing his point of view. We are being bombarded as human beings with all kinds of things in print and online that tell us things, and it's becoming harder and harder to discern, you know, what is true from what is not true. And we have sown the seeds of so much distrust in institutions that we used to take for granted. It feels like everything has come apart, you know, and we're going to have to rebuild it again. It's a tough time right now, Bob Duff. You know what
yes,
I mean?
It is. It is very difficult and very stressful for people. I understand, you know, there's a lot of fatigue, and it goes on with all of us. And this is nobody's doing, and we have to just make sure that we, you know, we want to keep people safe. We want to keep people alive. I mean, you know, the whole country yesterday had the largest amount of new infections in a single day ever. And so
67,000, I think
yes,
it was, right?
Yes. And so we have to. Nobody likes this, and nobody wants to be in this position, but we have to be vigilant, and we have to keep our loved ones alive. You know, we've had over 200,000 deaths. There's, you know, a report out from the CDC that says that between 180 and 220,000 people could have been kept alive had we done things differently in this country. Can you imagine those families that have lost loved ones?
We've got to wear our masks.
Yeah, but let's think about all those families that lost loved ones and that, you know, have gone through this mourning process, and many of them can't even have proper funerals and say their goodbyes. People are dying alone in hospitals. We have Wisconsin where they can't even take people anymore at their hospitals. We have to do better than this. We have to come together as a country and not have this mask, no masks thing, this, you know, this you're weak if you wear a mask, you're weak if you listen to the scientists. Science comes first. Science should rule the day.
Thank you, Bob Duff. Thank you for being
Thank
on
you.
The show. State Senatorial District, the 25th, representing Norwalk and Darien. I'm Lisa Wexler. I'll be driving back to the great state of Connecticut on Monday, and I'll be back on the air with you for a live new show on Tuesday. So have a marvelous weekend. A marvelous, marvelous weekend. Paul Pacelli, up at 2.